Welcome to the Big Success Podcast, cutting-edge conversations on business and personal success, as well as how to level up. Here's your host, number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars.
Wow, deep and meaningful this week, but deep and meaningful in a way that means how success, getting it focus off of you and onto the impact you create in the world, and how that focus can bring the success back to you, how the purpose of where you're going. All these things are just so powerful. Paul's been my mentor since I was 20 or 21 years of age. And I can't wait for you to listen in on this stuff. He goes so deep on some things of it. Just to give you some stats, I mean, so many books. His charity with his wife, Masumi, is phenomenal out there in the world, B1G1 based out of Singapore. But four times TED speaker, not TEDx, building great companies, advising great people. Literally, the accountants in the UK nominated him with their Lifetime Service Award, even though he's not an accountant in any way, shape, or form. Creative as heck. He's going to teach you so much in the next half hour. Dive right in. Paul Dunn. We have Paul Dunn. I can't believe it. Paul, how many years have we been together, working together? 1993, 30 years, actually 1992, 31 years that I've been studying everything Paul Dunn is doing, and I cannot believe it. I get to interview you on my podcast. Paul, my first question is always the same to every guest. What is success to you? How do you define success?
Well, first of all, thank you for the welcome, and it's just a privilege to be with you, Brad, and thank you for listening wherever it is you are as well. I think success is very different for different people. Success to me is the freedom to be able to do those things that are important to me. That's what success is. And of course, then that builds up to the relationships that you have, the investments that you have, and all those kind of things. But it is fundamentally, for me, that in other words, it's this interesting shift from, instead of talking about I have to, it's I get to. Does that make sense? So I have this privilege of being able to do things as a result of all of the things that I do. And and it's just a great feeling. It's great to get up every morning.
And was that, have you changed, like, has your definition of success changed over your lifetime? Has there been different variations of it?
That is a very good question. I think the answer to that is no, actually. I remember once being asked about failure, which I know we're going to talk about later. And if this isn't the appropriate time to talk about it, tell me that. But I remember that I was sitting in this audience and I was mentoring this guy. And he said, you know, be in the program so that you can help me do things. And during the program, I'm sitting there and he says, oh, we need to talk about failure. And look, Paul Dunn's in the audience. Oh, Paul, you've really got something to say about, you know, failure. And I'm going, no. And he says, oh, Paul's just playing hard to get. Let's give him some applause and all this kind of stuff. So I finally had to get up in front of this guy, whose name is Mike, by the way. His first name is Mike. And then he said, okay, talk about failure. And when I looked at the video back, the moment he kept saying failure, like I was this close to him, and then I just kept moving away and away and away and further till I hit a wall. I'm not kidding you. I was like 10 meters away from him. And he's sort of looking at him, what's going on? And then I realized that the difficulty for me was that my brain didn't get onto the word. Does that make sense? It was like in a weird place because I never saw it as that. I just see that, and I know this is a cliche, but that was like a very powerful learning experience for me, just as quote unquote failure is, because I didn't process the word. It was like, no, it's just a reaction to something, and everything has a reaction. And all the time we learn from those reactions, it just becomes a very different place. I was in London about a year ago in a pretty select group. If I could name drop for a minute, I'm sitting next to Elon Musk's business partner in Neuralink, for example, and David Attenborough's producer on my other side. Anyway, we're in this select group, and it's at the Barbican, and there's this opening thing, and they're celebrating why we haven't been able to get together, or not why we haven't been able to get together, but the fact that we haven't been able to get together for 3 years. And there's this musical thing, and Brad, oh, the music was, oh, it's like ethereal. And then this woman steps forward. She's on the stage. She looks like she's going to sing something, and she steps forward. And I subsequently found out that she's the UK Poet Laureate. I had no idea that that was who she was. And so she starts reading this poem, and she gets into the third line, and she says this in this beautiful voice. And she says, "Have you ever noticed when things break, they open?" And I thought, oh my God, that is just such a brilliant thing, right? Have you ever noticed when things break, they open? And then when you think about that even more, you realize that but you can't put them back together the same way, because that was what it was that made them break. Unless, of course, you're Japanese. And if you're Japanese, then what you do when you break pottery, they don't go, "Oh my God, I broke the pottery." They just look at it and go, "Oh, that was just a part of the history." And then they build it back together in exactly the same way, with one very subtle difference. And that is, they put gold in the thread. So the whole, how can I say it? The trajectory, does that make sense? The trajectory is always the same, which is the definition of success. But then occasionally we might get some lumps along the way, but it doesn't change the trajectory. Well, in fact, it can amplify the trajectory, if that makes sense.
Hang on, spend more time on that. What do you mean the bumps amplify the trajectory?
Well, because you see things in a different way. It's like, sometimes, for example, you and I may be speaking and you say something and the reaction is not exactly what you wanted, right? You go, "Oh, what happened?" And you can live with that and say, "Oh, my God, you know, what happened?" Or you can go, "Wow, that was interesting. How can I change that up?
And get better."
So it's just like a feedback mechanism, which is leading us on this, what I hope is, an exponential journey. In other words, we're all born to do that. The question is whether we believe that at every second of our life.
So let's go back then, born to, when did success become part of Paul Dunn? When did you choose success? Was it a young boy? Were you taught it? Is it a gradual thing? How did you choose to be successful?
That's such a good question, and I wish I knew the profoundly important answer to that. When I say this, some people might say, "Well, you know, you're up yourself," because that's
an Australian term, so the rest of the world doesn't care about that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. It is an Australian term. So it's just, I really don't know the answer to that, because it's always, for me, it's always been that trajectory of trying to get the most out of each moment.
But who taught you that? Did your mom? Did your grandma? Someone must have given you that thought that's the way the world works, because a lot of people aren't brought up that way.
Well, okay. If there was, I think I had it when I was a kid, when I left home, and in a positive way, by the way.
Yeah.
I was studying in London. I didn't have any money to do that at the time, so I had to find a way of doing that. And then finding that way took me into a particular place. And then, you know, in my 20s, I mean, 21, when I was 21, I had the privilege of being headhunted and being one of the first 10 in Hewlett-Packard in Australia. And, you know, you can't sit down with Bill Hewlett and Dave Packard without understanding, "Oh, my God, you started in a garage?" That kind of thing. So, and the other point about that, I think, is that it's like when you live in that bubble, and that's sometimes regarded as a negative thing. I don't mean it as a negative thing. Then guess what? You other people of similar mindset and stuff like that are attracted to you, and you're attracted to them. And so, as a result of that, it just kind of builds. That's my experience, anyway.
So let's flip it over then, and I'm going to use the word failure, but how does failure teach success, or how do we learn success from failures?
Well, if you're like a kid, and the first time you put your hand on a hot stove, you go, "Oh God, I'm not going to do that." Right? So it's a similar mechanism to that, you know. Like, and it's the whole thing about when we crawl and we stand, you know, we stand up and then we fall over. We don't say, "I think I'll spend the rest of my life crawling." We go, "Oh, there's something here that I need to master," and that's still goes on. You know, yesterday, Brad, I was 29,100 days old. Okay. So all of the people listening to this now got their calculators out and saying, "Seriously? You know, you're still around?" Yeah, and don't forget the leap years and all that kind of stuff. And the year 2000 was not one. So, and I'm reminded of something that the great Zig Ziglar is supposedly is accredited him. So he was 83 years old at the time, and someone says to him, and he's doing a presentation. Someone says, "Zig. Zig, you know, you're 83. Don't you think you should slow down?" And Zig looks at this guy and says, "Well, I've got it figured out. I've got less time left than you, so I think I should speed up." Right? So, and that's kind of like where I'm at. You and I were talking about it earlier. I just spent a couple of days with you. Just extraordinary learning. Right? Now, it's possible to go into that and say, "Well, quote unquote, I'm successful. I'm not going to take any notes. What the hell am I?" And that's the end. I mean, when you get to that point, that's like the end. Okay. So some people say, "Well, you know, why do you keep on doing that?" The answer is, for me anyway, it's a curiosity thing. You know, I'm just incredibly curious. And if you have that sense of curiosity, then you're just looking at the world in a totally different way.
Yeah. You are on the Big Success Podcast. We're going to be back with Paul Dunn, and we're going to be talking about the shifts in business right now. How do you succeed in business today, and what's working out there in the marketplace right now?
For building a target market, to incentivize referrals, to profit margins, and everything in between, Brad Sugars' book, Buying Customers, goes through the step-by-step process of building and growing a profitable commercial enterprise that works without the business owner.
And you're back. It's Big Success. Paul Dunn. Now, Paul, when you and I first met, you were teaching business in Australia. Now you're running the massively successful B1, G1. What is it about you that you create? I don't know if I want to say a following, but you can build team. People want to join things Paul Dunn does. How do you do that?
Well, I think the answer to that is you don't push it, right? Because the reality is that when you push, you ever notice people tend to push back. So you try and build something that has attractiveness, or to put it another way, you try to build things to which people want to belong. And once you understand that, it's like, you know, Seth Godin has that great quote that says, "People like us do things like this." So you, whenever you create something, it's almost like you're creating this movement that people go, "You know what? I would love to be a part of that. I would love, not only would I love to be a part of it, but I'd love to stay forever." And when you have that mindset, when you think of it as, you know, almost like how can I build a magnet kind of thing, what can I do to do that, then it becomes quite different. And of course, one of the ways of doing that, and you know, I've got to say, it took a while to figure this one out, because when you're first doing it, right, when you're first starting this thing, you know, whatever it is, that thing that you're starting, you think that it's all about you. That's what you think. Right? It's not all about you. It's first and foremost, it's about the privilege, you know, the privilege you have to serve people who are part of that. And that's an interesting shift. And then you get another shift, which is that your outcomes, your quote unquote success, right, are inherently tied to the success of the people that you're privileged to serve. So does that make sense?
It 100% does.
It's about the people you're privileged to serve. And when they get that, there's a feeling that, oh my gosh, you really care. Now, that doesn't mean you're nice and soft or whatever. You know, sometimes there's some tough love involved in all of that. But it means that people just feel great. It's like, well, maybe not feel great. people understand that there is a place where they can go, where they're respected, where they're cared for, and where they can learn great things and share those great things with other people around them.
So when we think about that belonging and that whole shift in business today to community-based, et cetera, we were talking the other day about the major points of that shift. Take me through how the world has changed in business.
Yeah. Okay. So, well, it depends which way you want to do it. Whether you want to go from the top or the bottom. But so let's quickly go from the top to the bottom. By the way, the bottom is what we just discussed. The bottom is it's not about you. It's about something bigger than you. But let's go straight to the top and work down from that. So what we have is a shift. This is a really major shift. Brad, if I look back over, you know, all of the stuff that I read and, you know, get in front of you, I think the big word of the last decade is purpose. Everybody says, you know, you got to be on purpose, you got to be on purpose, you got to have purpose, purpose, purpose. And that is correct. That's absolutely correct. But there's a level beyond that, right? And the level beyond that is to go from income-led to impact-led, right? There's a great book. It's called Cult Status by a guy called Tim Duggan, D-U-G-G-A-N. And he's a very successful Australian entrepreneur. And this book was the book of the year last year, I think it was, in Australia. And he gives you seven key things. And the first thing he says is, define your impact. Define your impact. And what he means by that is that whereas we tend to look at things rather naturally, and we have to do this, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, we do, you know, cash flow forecasts, we do all of that sort of thing, we do revenue forecasts, we do all of that, which is great. But he says on top of that, you've got to do this impact thing, which is essentially the number of lives you're going to influence, right? That's the kind of impact thing. So impact driven is a great one because it gives you, again, that something bigger. Next one down will be this shift from profit. Again, profit is really important, but a shift from profit to purpose, right? That is crucial, absolutely crucial. Next one is that whole thing that we talked about a minute ago, which is that shift from pushing to attracting. The next one, which I think is becoming so much more important now, it always was about value. You know, we had the value equation, right? Value is benefits divided by cost. We've had that around for quite a long time. And obviously that's still part of it. But what's more important now, which gets back to your belonging thing, is values. Right. So people are looking as you know, what do you stand for, if that makes sense? Is there some alignment? And by the way, this works in reverse, right? Because we all understand that bad clients drive out good clients, right? We all understand that. And that reason occurs because sometimes the values aren't the same. So what we stand for is critically important, critically, critically important. And then we get down to that whole shift that we started off with, which is that shift from self to something bigger than self, or to put that very simply, a shift from me to we. And so there's, if you like, five or six of the possible eight things that move us from thinking about a transactional business. That doesn't mean we're not very careful about the way we do the transaction and everything else, but a transactional business to a humanity-led business. And that sounds like, oh, wow, you know, so it's like hitting the cloud stuff, but it works, right?
Well, I'm 100% in agreement. I started Action Coach with the vision of world abundance through business re-education, and I still, my foundation, the Action Coach Foundation, that's what we do. My venture capital fund, we only invest in companies that have a solid community build and purpose. I know one of the biggest awards we give out at Action Coach is for our coaches and partners around the world is how many jobs did they create and what was the revenue or the net increase in community impact of dollars to that community that they coach. So I believe that wholeheartedly. I want to go backwards just a little bit though, because there's something that I think you're a little bit too humble about, and that is the vision factor and how you paint the vision so that people do want to be part of what you do. Talk to me more about that, because you and Masumi are amazing at painting a picture that give people something to join.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we, okay, so when we get into mission and vision and all those kind of things, we tend to go back to, you know, great talks like, you know, like Simon Sinek's talk about, you know, start with why and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that is crucially important, crucially important.
Yeah.
But what, where I think we sometimes fail on that is that we still make it about us. You know, we want to be, you know, the biggest thing in Dallas or whatever it is.
Yeah,
And there are two simple words, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot is the power of words, right? And there are two simple words that just change it. So when you've got something that you think might depend on you or might be all about you, just put the words "so that" on the end of it. So we're going to do blah, 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 so that. And when you get to the so that, you automatically are thinking about the people that you serve, right?
Yeah.
So that, for example, let's say you were creating a restaurant. So that people, you might want to say, I want to be the number one restaurant. So that the people who come here have an experience that they remember for the rest of their life. Right? That sort of thing.
It's like everything before so that, just drop it off, right?
Yeah, almost. That's exactly right. Exactly right. 100%.
How often do you, as a leader, communicate that to your group, to your membership, to your organization?
Well, fortunately, I'm privileged that sometimes people want to listen to what I have to say. So, in fact, just yesterday, we were talking about doing a playbook. You and I used to call that a workbook, but the trend these days is called a playbook. A playbook for how you create a great company. And so we did these 10 steps, and the first one, of course, was mission and vision and all of that kind of stuff. And so I'm doing that pretty much every day, because also you're talking about, again, remember that where you started out, you know, is not necessarily, you know, a straight line thing. Hopefully it's an exponential thing, but there are going to be little bumps, right? And frequently when you look at those bumps, it's because you forgot that basic principle. You just forgot it. You got so concerned about you, right? And if you're a guy, here's what you did. If you were a guy, you go off into your cave and you say, I'm not going to come out of there and all of that kind of stuff, right? That's what you do. Yeah. And if you think about it, when you're in that cave, what you're thinking about is you, right? But the thing that gets you out of that is the freedom to go, oh, this is how I felt, right? And talk with others about it and so on and so forth. So you just come out. And I think a way of thinking about it, which, again, it just is part of your day. You know, it's like, how do you begin the day? What do you do? Do you get up and be thankful for things? Is that what you do? Or do you get up and go, oh, shit, you know, we're having to do this again. What do you do? It's okay to say shit on your podcast, by the way. I trust it is.
Yeah, I'm Australian. That's just a natural word. It's funny. People say excuse the French. I say excuse the Australian. So
there you go. Yeah. So and you know, I absolutely don't want this to sound like Pollyanna and all of that kind of stuff, because it isn't. It's real. It's real. Someone said to me about a year ago, I love this quote. They said, "Hey, Paul, maybe we need to say to people that you were not born to break even." I love that quote, right?
Yeah.
So we were born to do great things. And what we have to do is just remind ourselves every day. Well, not maybe we remind ourselves, but just do those little things that you go, oh, this is why I'm here, right? Every day.
Yeah. You're on the Big Success Podcast. I'm Brad Sugars, and we have the great Paul Dunn with us. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about how you actually go from good to great, from big to amazing and massive. See you in a moment.
B1G1's co-founder, Paul, is a hugely respected and admired business leader who has helped make B1G1 what it is today. He's a four-time TEDx speaker and frequently travels around the world educating businesses about B1G1 and sharing inspiring business insights. To learn more about Paul Dunn, please visit b1g1.com.
And we're back, Big Success Podcast. Paul, you've trained literally hundreds of thousands of people how to go from being okay to good, but then from good to great and amazing. What's the difference, do you think, between those who are achieving good and those who go to amazing?
Well, I mean, language is so crucially important in all of this, right? So for example, you would see organizations that have this sort of thing out there that says, we aim to satisfy the customer. You got to be kidding me. You have seriously got to be kidding me that you think you could build an extraordinary organization on something that says we aim to satisfy the customer. No. We aim to delight the customer at every moment. We aim to create moments that really matter. We aim to create moments that are important for that person that we're serving so that they become moments that are important to us each and every day. And so that the team really get that. For example, Brad, yesterday, here's probably the best answer to that one. Yesterday, I was in a session and I was reminding people about the book that you and I talked about a couple of weeks ago, which is this really weird book from Tamsin Woolley Barker. It's called Teaming, and it's about termites and bees and all of that kind of stuff. And she was asked, this is all about what's the management structure that they use and goodness me, look at what they can build. And she was asked, what have you, so she studies nature. So she was asked, what's the most important thing you've learned from studying nature? And her answer to that is just so, so crucial. She says this, I've learned that nature doesn't solve for problems. Nature solves for potential. Now, think about that for a minute. Think about how, you know, in a sales process, for example, we typically have, you know, what are called discovery calls. And a discovery call typically goes like this. What's the problem? Oh, we've got a solution. It's only this much. How many do you want to buy? On the other hand, a potential call is different because it's starting from, okay, I see you have this little challenge. What do you see as the potential of solving that? Yeah. Right? So now you're getting more aspirational. But then, Brad, yesterday I was talking about this. It's amazing how things pop up, right? It's amazing. And I said, think about when you hire people, right? What are you doing? Are you talking about the culture of the, or are you spending time talking about what the person did, or are you talking about what the person might do? And all of a sudden, this little phrase came out, which I think I'll build on. And it is, why don't we say that we have a culture of potential? A culture of potential. So that when we're hiring people, the first thing they hear is, we have a culture of potential. That's how we build this great company. So let me ask you this. What's the potential you think you have in terms of adding to this potential that we have so that your potential gets even greater? It's a really interesting question, right?
Yeah.
And so I think there's something in that. I mean, I only thought of that culture of potential. I might copyright it or something yesterday. But what do you think? Is that a good way of thinking about it?
Yeah, it is. Because, I mean, when you look at the person whose goal is to pay their bills or the business owner whose goal is to make wages, they're solving a problem. They're not going for the full market share or the full capability of, you know, you have the ability to be a person that makes $1 million a year. Why not actually go for that instead of doing it the other way around? Well, let's flip that over then. You met a lot of billionaires, massively successful people. What do you think is the difference between that level of success and the person doing $1 million a year? $1 million's still successful. What's the difference between the massive and the, yes, doing good?
Well, interestingly, yesterday I asked this question. I talked about potential and I asked it was a relatively small group of 8 people. And I thought, am I going to ask them this question? Because it was on the Zoom thing and, you know, it's like, put it in the chat, right? And I said, put in the chat, what potential are you operating at right now? What is it? And to my absolute amazement, people saying, 50, 70, you know, and so on and so forth. And I was like stunned. But what was so interesting was in discussing it, discussing those numbers, it wasn't necessarily that they were, as it were, criticizing themselves for being there. They were just saying that they, like, for example, let's say that we know partnerships are a great way of building businesses, right? Let's just say we know that, which, by the way, is true. And so because we might be so sort of fixated on doing something else, we forget about something which is has enormous potential to help us grow. So in deeper analysis of that, it was, oh, I'm not spending enough time in that thing right now. Or alternatively, I'm not talking enough about that with my team. I'm not talking enough about their potential, right? So, and so sort of spreading the load, if it were that way. So it's always doing these things. Again, it's all about rituals, right? It's like James Clear in Atomic Habits. He says, you know, most people don't achieve their goals not because they don't have them. It's because they don't have the rituals that drive them towards it. Right? So that's the thing. Like, what do you do when you get up in the morning? What do you do before you go to bed at night? What do you do? Right? It's all those things. Right? And by the way, it's also not beating yourself up. It's also saying, "Oh shit, I missed today." Right? That's okay. Right?
Yeah, I didn't. But do as that. Long as So you know what I mean? Let's actually talk about B1G1 then. Most people, when they start a charity, would be happy with, you know, getting a few partners on board that help build it, and, you know, impacting 100,000 would be amazing. You guys are currently at what, 300 million impacts?
Yeah, 326 million to be precise.
How do you, Paul, when you started it, did you see it as that big, or has it had to grow over time? Like, have you grown with your success that you think the next thing is possible, or did you always envision like a billion impacts or something along those lines?
Well, that's a really great question. That is such a good question, Brad. And initially we saw it as, oh, wouldn't it be great if there were 100? Seriously. And then, so I'm not kidding you. I'm seriously not kidding you. And what we knew was that it was all about measuring those impacts. It wasn't about saying, oh, look, you know, someone just gave, you know, $300 or $3,000. It was all about measuring the impacts. And the funny thing is, you know this to be true, once you start measuring those things, then you focus on those things, right? So you make the whole thing about that, and you celebrate this whole thing around creating impacts. And so, you know, these days when we talk about B1G1, sometimes people talk about giving. And the funny thing about giving is you and I know, right? We know that we are at our best when we're giving. We understand that. And that doesn't mean necessarily giving money. It means helping the little old lady across the road. It means all of those sorts of things. But some people still see that giving as giving away something that they have, right? Whereas when you talk about it another way, you say, well, actually what you're doing is you're creating impacts that stay with you, right? And impacts that become a great legacy for you. So that instead of thinking every day about, not every day, but maybe at my age you think about, you know, you're leaving a legacy. Why not let's think about we're living it. We're living it every single day. And why not just think about that other people are looking in at us as well? So why not just think about leveraging that as well? So now when you think about it, you know, you get up, oh, guess what? I'm living it. I'm living this legacy, right? Just by talking with you. And then I'm leveraging this legacy just by, you know, because there's a podcast. And thank you, by the way, wherever you are for listening to us. And then as a result of that, we're leaving one. And as Steve Jobs once said, you know, the storyteller is the most powerful person in the world, because the storyteller, and that's what every single one of us are, we're also story creators, by the way. He said, The storyteller is the most powerful person, and the storyteller sets the vision, the values, and the agenda. Now, here comes the big bit, the vision, the values, and the agenda for an entire generation yet to come. And when you get that, you get back to where we started, Brad, which is, it's not about you. It's about something much bigger than you.
Dang. I could ponder on that for hours. Paul, let's finish up with this question. What is the best advice or the best quote you ever read on the subject of success?
It's obviously tough, right? To pick one. And it's this: when your vision is more powerful than your memory, and just let's remember this, that people teach you how to have a great memory, right? When your vision becomes more powerful than your memory, then your future becomes more powerful than your past.
Dang. Another one to ponder for hours. The Paul Dunn. Study it, learn it, jump in the show notes, follow everything with Paul. Go see what B1G1 is doing. Phenomenal work out there in the marketplace. Paul, thank you for your time today. You're on the Big Success Podcast. We'll be back next week with more on your success. And that's the Big Success Podcast for today. Hopefully you took a lot of notes and hopefully you learned a bunch. And hopefully you're going to take action on it and refer people. Remember, if you haven't subscribed, click that subscribe button now. Be with us every week on the Big Success Podcast. BS, Brad Sugar's Big Success. Take action. Check the show notes for all the links. I'll give you all the links for everything that your speaker had. Make sure you follow through and keep the learning going. Remember, you got to grow into your goals. I'll speak to you next time on the Big Success Podcast.
You've been listening to the Big Success Podcast with the number one business coach in the world, Brad Sugars. To learn more about how to achieve business and personal success, as well as how to level up or listen to past episodes, visit www.bradsugars.com.